Okay, everybody, so let's begin. We're going to try and go outside of the Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Samaches, and we might veer off the path, but at least we'll start going in that direction. Just a few introductory comments. The first thing is that there are two wonderful resources in Yeshiva for just if you're more interested in the practical side of Geirus. They also happen to be knowledgeable on the theoretical side, but in terms of their expertise in the practical side, Rabbi Zilberman, who runs the RCA Commission on Geirus, who's around the yeshiva every now and again, I don't know his schedule, and Rabbi Ram, who teaches in IVC, gives a Gemara Shiur in IVC, is also heavily involved in being the sponsoring rabbi for many potential Geirus candidates. So there are two... these are the newer resources who are available if you have any questions about practically what goes on in terms of Geirus. Svarim that might be helpful for your own limud and beyond. Three Svarim primarily that I recommend. One is the Mishnah Sager, which is a newer Sefer. It's excellent, more exhaustive work. There's a more Bekitzer Sefer, which is a little bit older, called the Geirus Kehilchasa, or both which are back in print. And then there's Hagiur, which is a doctoral dissertation by Menachem Finkelstein, where he kind of more finer points in terms of Steiros and Ramayshe, did his whole doctoral thesis on these type of things. And it's a little bit more on the expensive side because it's a doctoral thesis, but it's also valuable work. Okay, so let's start over here. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos, Sedaf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and it's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Samaches Siv Beis, that when a ger comes before us and he's interested in geiros, Ma'ayim Imala. First we discourage him, and we say, Ma'ara Isa Shabasal is Gaya, why do you want to convert? Iyata Yodea, don't you know she is Rabbis Manazed, the Chufim, Schufim, and Turavim, Visurim, Boimaleim. We have all these sorrows. Why do you want to come and be part of Klal Yisrael? So Tosfos writes in Agamar Maseches Yevamos that this is because Kashim Gerim Li Yisrael Kasapachas. Gerim are difficult on Klal Yisrael Kasapachas, like a blister, which we have to understand what that means. But they're difficult for Klal Yisrael. So we discourage Gerim because they're difficult for Klal Yisrael. The Meiri on Agamar and Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Mem Zayin explain slightly differently that the reason we initially discourage the Ger from coming to join Klal Yisrael is because we're afraid that he's being Megayer from an ulterior motive. The Shulchan Aruch later on in Sif Yud Beis has a larger discussion, but it appears in the Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, and Mishnah, and Daf Chav Dalim and Beis, that a person who's Megayer for an ulterior motive, L'shem Davar Acher, either because he wants to marry a Jewish person or because there's potential advantages to being a Jew, be Ma'aseh Mashiach at the days of Malchus Yisrael. Whenever there's nowadays in contemporary times where there's a chusim to being a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, so then we're afraid that a person is being megayer for an ulterior motive. And such a geirus, even though the geirus is good, b'diavad l'chachila, we don't encourage such geirim. So we first discourage all geirim because we're afraid that potentially what's motivating this geir is some other ulterior motive. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps the reason why we initially discouraged the Ger from becoming part of Klal Yisrael is not really we're discouraging him. We want him to identify with Klal Yisrael historically. We tell him, "Hi atah yodea, she Yisrael b'zman hazeh dechufim schufim meturafim," meaning you have to identify with all of Klal Yisrael's troubles and struggles in the Golos. This is the beginning of the Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. It's not enough just to accept the Du Tayag Mitzvahs. He has to identify with Klal Yisrael historically, and that's what we're trying to emphasize to the Ger. I believe that there's such an idea, the Rav doesn't quote this, but I believe that perhaps that could be the pshat in the Mechilta that Rabbi Rosenzweig is actually very fond of quoting. The Mechilta on Parshas Bo has a Havamina, which Rabbi Rosenzweig makes a big deal about, this Havamina, but the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bo, V'chi yagur yitcha ger, v'asa pesach la'ashem, if a ger will live amongst you and he'll perform a carbon pesach. So the Mechilta says, you might have thought that every ger, as part of his gerus, requires a carbon pesach. It says, and then the conclusion of the pasuk, he should be, like the natives of the land, meaning like a native Yisrael, that he only has to bring a carbon Pesach time. However, the Mechilta had the Havamina that every ger, as part of his gerus, has to bring a carbon Pesach. And in fact, the Meshech Chochma writes that there is a carbon of gerus, and if it happens to be that a person converts around Pesach time, his carbon Pesach can serve b'makom, the carbon that usually goes along with gerus. So carbon Pesach can serve as a carbon of Geirus. Why should it be? Why should we even have thought, have a Havamina that every Geir should require a carbon Pesach? Maybe Rosenzweig has his pshat, but perhaps one possibility is because what the carbon Pesach represents is identifying with Klal Yisrael historically, with Avadim Hayinu, Lefarba Mitzrayim, and you cannot be part of Klal Yisrael unless you share a common history with all of the tzaras that Klal Yisrael went through during the period of Avdus to Mitzrayim. So Soto over here, Rav Salvejik suggested perhaps that we mean to tell the ger by Iyato Yadesh Yisrael Bezman is that Chufim Schufim and Terofim doesn't mean necessarily to discourage him but the fact that he has to identify with Klal Yisrael historically. The Gemara tells us after you say to him, don't you know, or we initially discourage him, whatever the pshat is, we initially discourage him from coming to join Klal Yisrael. If he says any, he says Omer Yodeani Veini Chidai. He says I know, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to join Klal Yisrael. Meaning, despite all of this, he wants to join Klal Yisrael. Mekabel Noisam Iyad. We accept him right away. And the Gemara says, why do we accept him right away? Meaning, we do Mila immediately. Why do we do that? Shihuye Mitzvah Lo Mishahinon. The Gemara says, once a person is prepared to do a mitzvah, you shouldn't push it off. So Yosef Engel in his Gilyane Hashas and that Gemara in Meseches Yevamos and Daf Chavdal Beis is Medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara that you see that there is a mitzvah in Gerus. Shihuye mitzvah lo mishahinan. There's a mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim. So he actually quotes him the Tashbeitz, who also writes that there's a mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim. The Tashbeitz though discusses what is the source for this mitzvah. That's somewhat unclear. But it sounds like from the Gemara that when the Gemara says if he accepts to join Klal Yisrael, despite all of the historical implications, he says, yes, we accept it right away because if you don't put it off a mitzvah, it sounds like, of course, that there is a mitzvah. Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlau, in his comments on the Rasag, discusses what could be a possible source for the mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim. So he quotes the Matthias Harosh that perhaps it's based on the mitzvah of Ahav Temes Ager, that you should love the Ger. But he says that that only applies, he's not satisfied with that, because that only applies after the person is Megayer, you should love him and treat him equally. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's a reason proactively to seek out Gerim. There is a Ravid in the Bali HaNefesh, which everyone thinks that they discovered for the first time, but the Ravid in the Bali HaNefesh writes that, well, he discusses, what is the bracha that a person makes on a Ger Katan? He says, what bracha does he ask, how do we make a bracha? When you're Tovo a Ger Katan, how does Beis Din make a bracha? How could they say, Asher Kishanam Tzvayisav Itzivanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in this mitzvah? What's the mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim? So the Ravid writes in the Bali HaNefesh, it's based on the Pasuk V'yasa HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charon, that Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim. However, Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlau also notes this, but that's also somewhat unsatisfying. Number one, that's not B'loshin Tzivoy. Number two, it happens before Matan Torah. So really, as the source for the mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim, it's not necessarily ideal. What most of the Achrayim conclude, Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlau also concludes this way, is that there is a mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim, and it's predicated upon the Rambam's comment in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Mitzvos Aseh Gimel, that part of the Rambam's description of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Shehei Shem Shamayim Misoiv HaYadecha, that a person who is truly in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in spreading that love to others. So as an expression of my own love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm interested in being Megayer Gerim to spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to them too. And in fact, the Rambam says, that's why, it could be this is what the Ravid meant, that's why Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim, because that was his fulfillment, that was the form that his expression of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem took place, was that he was Megayer Gerim also to want to join and to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that could be the source for the mitzvah to be Megayer Gerim. That Ravid, though, that writes in the Bali HaNefesh, that he asks, how do we make a bracha on the Tfilas Ger? Where is the mitzvah? How can we say, Asher Kishanam Tzvayisav Itzivanu? How do we make a bracha on the Tfilas Ger Katan? Is, in fact, a significant statement on its own right, because the Ravid is obviously of the opinion that you make a bracha on a Tfilas Ger Katan. And there are actually three opinions in the Paiskim, in the Achrayim, about what do you do with a Ger Katan? Do you make a bracha? When a Ger Gadol comes to do Tfilah, so the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, even though normally you make a bracha prior to doing a mitzvah, or prior to being tovo as a kelim, you do it before you put the kli into the mikvah. Here, the ger makes the bracha after he goes into the mikvah, because the Gemara says before he goes into the mikvah, gavra adayim lechazi. He's not Jewish. How could he make a bracha? So it's only after he goes into the mikvah. Then he comes out. Then he makes the bracha. Some say this is a paradigm for nidus too, so therefore, hilchos nida, that's why some hold the bracha should be before. But whole discussion, I'm sure you're familiar with that. Rav Salvechik is quoted by Rav Shechter that this is not only, I'm sorry, that the same should be true with regards to a ger katan. even though a ger katan bezin is the one who's making the bracha, and it could be that bezin can make the bracha before the tefilas gerus, because bezin is Jewish. Even when you're being tevil a ger katan, the bezin should make the bracha after the gerus. Because if Salvechik's argument was that it could be the whole bracha on the tefilas gerus is not a bracha on the mitzvah of being tevil, but on the chalois gerus, on the status of being meguyar. So if that's the case, then perhaps the bracha should always come after the tefillah. So the Ravid writes in the Balei Nefesh, there is a bracha, presumably it's a bracha before the tefillah. He just asks, how can you say a shekir shalom slice of itzivan? Or if Salvechik argued, others argue as well, that the bracha should be after the tefillah. Just like a ger gadol makes the bracha after the tefillah, so too the Beis Din, who is Megayah ger gadol, should make the bracha after the tefillah. The Sri Deyesh, presumably unaware of the Ravid in the Balei Nefesh, writes that there's no bracha at all on a tefillah's ger gadol. Because he could be Meicha later on. Higdilu Yechalim Limchais. So I don't know what's going to come from this tefillah. So the Sri Deyesh argues that there is no bracha on a tefillah sker katan, and I believe I heard that that's the minig, that they don't make a bracha on a tefillah sker katan. So there are three opinions. The Ravid writes in the Balei HaNefesh that there is a bracha, presumably before. Salvechik argued the bracha should be afterwards, and the Sri Deyesh says that there's no bracha at all, because Higdilu Yechalim Limchais, perhaps there will be no gerus in the end anyway. Right, but he claims, and anyway, perhaps there's no bracha by a ger katan. Maybe it was only on the ger who makes himself. Who said bezin as an obligation? Huh? That's the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh. I mean, that's the Rishon.
The discussion should be right. That's generally what we say. We put the Chuvas and Rash for that.
About bracha, mitzvah, tanya, acherim, ba. All of Geirus is patterned according to the Gemara Maseches Krisus on Daf Tes. Most of the Gemara Mekonos we're quoting over here in the binder. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Krisus on Daf Tes that all of Geirus is patterned after Maimon Har Sinai, as the Pasuk tells us in Parsha Shlach. Chukas Olam L'day Reisechem Chachem Kager Yiyel Lefnei Hashem. So this is the way it should always be done, like it was done at the time of Maimon Har Sinai. So the Gemara says Ma Avoseichem Mila Tvila VeKarban. Just like Klal Yisrael at the time of Maimon Har Sinai had Mila Tvila and a Karban, so too all of Geirus L'dayros is Mila Tvila and Karban. Parenthetically, we'll get back to this. It's interesting that the Kabbalah Ol Mitzvah is not mentioned, which is like, what? Where's Kabbalah Ol Mitzvah? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It just says Mila, Tvila, and Karban, which could be an important statement one way or the other, that Kabbalah Ol Mitzvah is not mentioned. Either way, the Gemara says, based on Maimon Har Sinai, you always need Mila, Tvila, and a Karban. The Gemara already asked, what do you do at a time that there's no Beis HaMikdash? How can you have a Geirus if there's no Karban? There's no Beis HaMikdash. So then the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk, no, but the Pasuk says, L'doyrois Seichem, forever, meaning L'doyrois, this is the way it should be. And there will be generations, the Gemara knew, that there will be no Beis HaMikdash. So it must be that the Karban, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, is not Miyakev. So the Avnei Nezer argues, it sounds like from the Gemara, if the Beis HaMikdash is around, you need a Karban. If the Beis HaMikdash is not around, the Karban is not Miyakev. So when there is a Beis HaMikdash, you need Mila, Tvila, and Karban, all three. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can get away without the Karban. That's why the Avnei Nezer claims is perhaps the rationale behind Tosfos' comment in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Mem Vav, and is quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Tameches Sif Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im nichras hagid," let's say that part of the body is just missing. So can this person convert or not? So Tosfos writes, "Im nichras hagid," that part of the body is missing, he doesn't need a Mila. So Avnei Nezer asks, how did Tosfos know you don't need a Mila? Maybe the guy can't convert. So he said, no, he learned it out from the fact that Karban, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, is Miyakev, is an essential ingredient to Geirus. When it's not, there is no possibility of bringing a Karban, you could do without it. So too Mila is an essential ingredient to Geirus. But if there's no possibility of doing Mila, that part of the body is missing. So you can have Geirus without it. Based on this comment of Tosfos, Rav Itzel Lapanovich, there's a famous discussion, Rav Itzel Lapanovich and the Zecher Yitzchok writes that if there must have been a famous case that they're all talking about, but he was presented with a person who was a hemophiliac and wanted to convert. But if he does Mila, he's not going to make it much longer. If they do the Mila, then he'll bleed out. So he asked the Zecher Yitzchok, can he convert then without Mila? So Zecher Yitzchok said, yes, he could convert without Mila. He's like Nichras Hagid, same story. And Tzvi Pesach Frank and Chaim Oizer and Achiezer and the Sri Deyesh all disagree with Rabbi Itzel Lapanovich, and they say, no, the two cases are totally different. If a person doesn't have that mokum in the body, it's gone, okay, you could do without it. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's just not here, you could do without it. The person has the mokum HaMila, just if he does it, he won't be able to survive the Mila, but that doesn't necessarily mean you could do without it. If you don't have that makom at all, maybe yes, but here no. So they said, unfortunately, that person can't convert. He doesn't have the makom amila. He has a makom amila, he just can't go through with the mila for medical reasons, so then he just can't convert. Okay, so immediately after, the Gemara said, a person says, he agrees, he hears our whole pitch that we convince him not to become part of Klal Yisrael. He says, Yodeni veini chidai, I know about this, and I'm not roi. He wants to join Klal Yisrael, so he said, Shihuye mitzvah lo mishahinan, there's a mitzvah to accept him right away. And we begin the process of Geirah. So it begins with Modiyah Moshe Ikrei Hadas, says the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Beis. You tell him the basics of the religion, Ikrei Hadas, Yichud Hashem v'Yisrael v'Yisrael v'Yisrael. And then you tell him mitzvahs, mitzvahs chalas, and mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuras. It's interesting that one of the things you tell him is Yisrael v'Avedis Kechavim. The Chazanish already asked, Aruch Lener asked in the Gemara. That's Noyeg when he's a non-Jew. He is an Yisrael v'Avedis Kechavim. That's one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noyach. So the Chazanish says, no, perhaps the Yisrael v'Avedis Zara, this is the beginning of the discussion, perhaps the Yisrael v'Avedis Zara by Jews is different than it is by non-Jews. So we're telling him is he can't get away with that Isser of Avodah Zarah, you were being like as a non-Jew. The Isser of Avodah Zarah when it comes to Jews is much more broader. So it could be that's what we're doing. Anyway, we tell him mitzvahs mitzvahs kalas and mitzvahs mitzvahs chamuras. We do this again. We do this initially. That's the first thing that we do before anything. We tell him, you know what you're getting yourself into. Ikri adas, mitzvahs mitzvahs kalas, mitzvahs mitzvahs chamuras. And then the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Beis, after the Mila, after this first Hodos HaMitzvahs, we do Mila, then he's in the Mikvah, before he goes entirely under the Mikvah, again you tell him Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalas, and Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuras. That's mentioned here later on, Simin Reish Samaches, Sif Yud Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, over here in Sif Yud Beis, the Ger Shaloi Bodku Acharav, let's say they didn't check after him, or Shaloi Hadil HaMitzvahs, let's say they never told him about these Mitzvahs. Umal v'tovel harezeger. So in Sif Yud Beis already, the Shulchan Aruch says this telling him about the mitzvah is mixes mitzvahs kalas, some mixes kalas, some mixes chamuros, is not miyakev in the geirus. What does that mean? All of kabbalah. So you don't have to tell him. Let's say a guy said he wants to be megayer. We give him our pitch why he shouldn't come. He says no. He wants to join Klal Yisrael. Mila tvila. We never told him anything. The guy is Jewish. What does that mean? What does that imply? Does that imply that Kabbalah's own mitzvah is not miyakev at all? You don't have to tell him anything? If you told him nothing, he's still a good ger. So Piskei Tshuva and Sifkat and Tes quotes a Tshuva from the Chebna Shlomo, which is one of the most important Mar Mekaymas in all of Hilchas Geiros, but it just appears, it's like in Hilchas Mila, you had the Ayin Mishkanis Yaakov, which was critical about HaTofes Dambris. Here it just says, Ayin Tshuva's Chebna Shlomo, so the most important Mar Mekaymas. Everyone, the Reb Chaim Moizer makes a big deal about this Chebna Shlomo, so does everybody else. Because the Chebna Shlomo writes that no, these are two separate concepts. There's Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, that is Miyakev in the Geirus. And then there is Hoidos, Mixas Mitzvahs Kalas, and Mixas Mitzvahs Chamuros. There's the formality of telling him about the Mitzvahs, that's not Miyakev. If he went to the Miwa, to the Mikvah, and you didn't tell him about the Mixas Mitzvahs Kalas, Mixas Mitzvahs Chamuros, so then it's still a good Geirus. But if he doesn't have intention to accept the Mitzvahs, so then there is no Geirus at all. Rav Soloveitchik writes in his Kol Dodi Lo Fake, I think that's in the binder as well, he quotes there from his father. Rav Chaim Moizer has this, all of these things we quote from Rav Chaim Moizer all in one long tshuva, short tshuva actually, in Chelo Gimel, from the Achiezer. Rav Moshe has this also, I think he also quotes from his father. Which Rabbi Tendler said, he only just, whenever he quotes from his father, he's just basically saying, you know, don't argue with me. But he quotes from his father, Rav Chaim Moizer says the same thing, Rav Soloveitchik says the same thing. Then how could a person possibly convert without Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs? That's what converting is all about. Converting to be a Jewish person doesn't mean he identifies, it's in Yom Diyom, it doesn't mean he just identifies with Jewish people nationally. That's not good enough. That's not what we're about. We're not just people who have a nationality. We have an ideology that goes along with, we are nationality too, but we also have an ideology that goes along with that nationality. And if you don't accept the ideology, then you're not part of the nationality either. So a person has to be Makabo Ol Mitzvahs. That itself is the essential context of all of Geirus. If Soloveitchik goes on there to point out that there seems to be, in the quotes in the name of his father, Ramesh Alevi, that there seems to be a machlekes between Taisus and the Rambam as to the details of what exactly is the role of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Mem Hei has an interesting case of a woman who always thought she was Jewish. And she goes to the mikveh for nidus every year. Then it turns out she realizes she's not Jewish. So the Gemara says she doesn't require a tefillah for Geirus. Because Miloy Tavla Linidusa, didn't she go to Mikvah for Nidus? So it sounds like the tefillah that she did for Nidus could be Ayla B'makam, the tefillah of Geirus. So Tosfos already asks, but we're going to get to it later on, that you need a basin for Geirus. Based on the Pasuk of Mishpat Echad Yelochem, you need Pasuk says Mishpat by Geirus, you need a basin, just like you do for Dinei Mominus. So you need three people. So Tosfos asks, when she went to the mikvah, hopefully there was no basin watching her. So then, how does that Tfilas Nidus work for Tfilas Geirus? So Tosfos writes that Meikra Adin, you don't need a basin for the tefillah. All you need a basin for is the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. That's what you need a basin for. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, for Tosfos, you see that the Ikar Geirus, the most important part of the Geirus, the most critical element, is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. And that's the only part that you need a basin for, because it's the most critical element. He writes that the Rambam understands, perhaps even more profoundly, that the Rambam understands it's not the most critical stage of Geirus, it's not even a stage of Geirus at all. It's the whole context of Geirus. That's why the Gemara doesn't mention the Meseches Krisus. Says the Moshe Soloveitchik, why did the Gemara mention that one of the elements of Geirus is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs? It says Mila, Tvila, and Karban. Where's Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs? The answer is what Geirus means. That's the whole context of Geirus. Geirus means not just identifying with the Jewish people nationally, it means to identify with the ideology, to accept, to do Torah and Mitzvahs. That's the whole point of Geirus. So according to the Rambam, it's the context of Geirus, which Geirus takes place, and according to the Tosfos, it's perhaps the most critical stage of Geirus. Either way, it plays a central role, and the fact that the Rambam says Hodas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuras, doesn't mean is not Miyakev, doesn't mean Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is not Miyakev. No, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is perhaps the context of all of Geirus, or is the most critical stage of all of Geirus. It means the formality of telling him about the Mitzvahs while he's in the Mikvah, the formality of telling him about Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuras, is not Miyakev. But of course, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is Miyakev. There is a difference, perhaps, between Tosfos and the Rambam with regards to whether or not Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is the context of all of Geirus. I mean, it has to be your attitude to accept Torah and Mitzvahs when you come to convert. That's what converting means. Or it's the most critical stage of Geirus. With regards to the discussion that the Minchas Asher has in his Sefer on Maseches Shabbos, Dayan Grosnas also has this in his Tshuvas, the Lev Aryeh, about whether or not a Cheresh, a person, let's say, who's deaf, can convert. Why? Because a Cheresh is not Chayiv in Mitzvahs. Cheresh Shaita V'Katan, not Chayiv in Mitzvahs. So how can he accept to do Mitzvahs? He's not Chayiv in Mitzvahs. So can you convert if he has no mitzvahs to accept? So it could be, Rav Asher Weiss already hints at this, Dayan Grosnas does too, it could be, it depends on this machlokes. If Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is a stage of Geirus, so then perhaps you have to have some mitzvahs that you are actually practically going to do, and the Cheresh doesn't have that. But if it represents your attitude, like the Rambam says, it's a context in which person comes to Geirus, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not a formal stage of Geirus, then perhaps the Cheresh comes with the attitude that he wants to accept Torah and Mitzvahs is sufficient. He doesn't necessarily have to have practically any Mitzvahs that he's going to start implementing. Rather represents his attitude in the context which is coming to Geirus. Cheresh has das. You're saying how? So the whole point is he's not a bar das.
He's not a bar das. That's the definition. If he's a bar das,
then
he has
Mitzvahs. He's not a Cheresh. Right. Dayan Grosnas discusses that too. But this part of it is also part of it. Even if you would get over that hurdle, you have this problem. Ben Sion Uziyodo has an important question over here. So we're basically arguing the Chem Neshama is the most important Mari Malkum, because he tells you there's a difference between Hodas, Mixtus, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mixtus, Mitzvahs, Chamurus, the formality, whereas accepting Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is, of course, is critical to the Geirus. However, Ben Sion Uziyodo, one of the former chief rabbis of the State of Israel, and his Truvis, the Piskei Uziyodo, has an argument which is interesting, which many quote. And it's important to know the argument and to know what the responses are to the argument. So his argument runs as follows. He argues, 1 minute, okay, so Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is Miyakev, well, he understands that. But do we actually have to have a reasonable expectation that the person is going to perform Mitzvahs? So do we say to him, do you accept to do the Mitzvahs? And he says yes. Is that enough? Or do we actually have to have a reasonable expectation that he means what he says, that he's actually going to accept, that he's actually going to perform the Mitzvahs? So he argues that it's enough that the person says he accepts to do mitzvahs. There doesn't actually have to be a reasonable expectation that he's going to do and to perform the mitzvahs. How does he know? So he's arrived from the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that if a person the Gemara at the beginning of Kol Gadol discusses how many karbonos do you bring for different halomos on Shabbos. If you forgot this malacha, or you forgot all Melechus Shabbos. Let's say the Gemara discusses also the possibility of a person who never heard of Shabbos, doesn't know Ikar Shabbos. How many Chatos does he bring? So the Gemara first asks, how could it be that you have a person who's Jewish that doesn't know, forgot Ikar Shabbos? He doesn't know, he never heard of Shabbos. How could it be? So Gemara says, it's possible. You could have a Tinuk Shenishba. A Jew was taken captive by Nachum and raised by Nachum, didn't receive a proper Jewish education. Fine, he doesn't know about Shabbos. Or the Gemara suggests the possibility that Gershon is Geyer Ben HaNachrim. He converted amongst Nachrim. And they didn't tell him about Shabbos. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? But there was a Beis Din there. If he converted, there was a Beis Din. Didn't the Beis Din tell him about Shabbos? So Tosfos says, no, they forgot to tell him about Shabbos. That's a difficult teretz. There was a Beis Din. They told him about the mitzvahs, and they left out Shabbos, one of the most common and central mitzvahs to all of Yiddishkeit. It's a hard thing to swallow. So the Ramban and the Ritva disagree with Tosfos on that Gemara, and they say, no, there was a Beis Din there. They didn't tell him any mitzvahs. They didn't tell him any mitzvahs. There was no Hodas HaMitzvahs. So you see, like the Chem de Shlomo, that's his Makar. Hodas mitzvahs Kalos, mitzvahs Chamur, says not Miyake. They didn't tell him about any of the mitzvahs. They asked him, do you accept to do mitzvahs? Yes, he accepted to do mitzvahs, but they didn't tell him anything. So he asked Rav Uziel, he says the following, or he argues. He says, what do we reasonably expect? They told him, do you accept mitzvahs? Yes, what are they? We're not telling you. Do you really expect him to start keeping Tayag mitzvahs? He doesn't even know what they are. So obviously, argues Rav Uziel, it's enough to just say, you accept to do the mitzvahs, even though you don't reasonably can't expect you to do them if you don't know what they are. That's his argument. So that, if you do that, the floodgates of Geirus are open. Then you just say, okay, do you accept to do mitzvahs? Yes. Good, you're in. And there's that. That's it. So Rav Moshe actually asked the same kasha in Igros Moshe. And Rav Moshe gives a different heretz. Rav Moshe says, and Rabbi Tendler said this over in a different context, but in a different way. But Rav Moshe says what Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is about is not, of course it means we reasonably expect you to do the mitzvahs. It just means you don't have to know all of them at the outset. It's like a person who enlists in the army, Rabbi Tendler gave the mashal. Guy who enlists in the army, we can't give you a checklist of everything you'll be asked to do throughout your tour of duty in the army. You might be called on to do this. You might be called on to do that. You can't argue with us later on and say, oh, I didn't sign up for that. No, it doesn't work either. You accept to be in the army. You'll do whatever we tell you. But your acceptance is to do whatever you will be told when you will be told about it. So too, argues Rav Moshe, the nature of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs by Ger is to keep the mitzvahs when you will find out about them. That's what Kabbalah's all mitzvahs means. But when you find out about them, we have to reasonably expect that you're going to perform them. If we reasonably can't expect that you're going to perform the mitzvahs, then such a Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is not kosher. So Roy Bar Paiskim disagreed with Rav Uziel. It's an interesting argument, but there's a very good answer. And that is that the Kabbalah's all mitzvahs is when you will find out about the mitzvahs, you will perform them. But there has to be a reasonable expectation that you're going to perform the mitzvahs. If a person says he's makabal the mitzvahs, but we don't reasonably expect him to do it, then that's not called the kabbalah on mitzvahs. That brings us, though, to a problem, which then every geirus is kind of fraught with a problem, and that is that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Becheiros and Daf Lamed Amud Beis that a person who's megayer chutz midaver echad, let's say a guy is converts, but he says, I don't want to keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. It's not for me. Forget Tzayim Gedalia. I don't really understand. It doesn't resonate. No Tzayim Gedalia. So the Gemara says, no, such a Geirus is no good. You can convert. Because even if it's Midivrei Seifrim, a person who converts, Chutz Midavar Echad, even if it's Midivrei Seifrim, the Geirus is no good. You have to accept to do all of the mitzvahs. So answer Chaim Ezer in this one tshuva on Geirus. He asked the following. He says, well, 1 minute. If we ask a Geir, he converts. He said, do you really think you're never going to talk Lashon Hara? Come on. You're never going to talk Rechilas, not once. You won't be over in Lassisna Sachichu B'Vavecha ever. Come on, of course you will. Oh, say Esav Chai Meizah, how is any Geirus kosher? He's going to talk Lashon Hara. We can almost predict. It's inevitability. The guy ain't Tzadik Baritzah or Yasa Tayvah Leachta, he will commit an Avera. So isn't that the same as a Geirus Chutz Midavar Echad? We can't reasonably expect him to not talk Lashon Hara. So Reb Chaim Ezer says the following. Reb Chaim Ezer says a fundamental distinction. It's echoed by the Melamed Lahayo. Reb Moshe has the same thing, that there's a difference. Here the person accepts it's wrong to talk Lashon Hara. They accept it's wrong. They might not be able to be Oymid Ben Yisoyon, but they accept it's wrong. So says Reb Chaim Ezer, that's called a Kabbalah Tzom Mitzvah. If a guy says, I'm converting, but I don't like Tzom Gedalia, so that right after Rosh Hashanah, come on, it's so inconvenient, so then no, that's no good. You're not accepting it. If you accept it, and he gives it to his taiva, and he eats on the tainus, he's Jewish, that's all right. That's okay. But the Kabbalah has to be complete. The Kabbalah has to be complete. Rav Moshe has a case, which Rabbi Tamer mentioned, about a woman who converted, and then after the conversion, she came back to Rav Moshe. She's not sure her Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was sufficient, because she knew about a conference that she was going to have to go to on the Yom Tov Sheni, and she already knew before the Geirus that she might not be able to be Oymed B'Nisayon not to go to the conference on Yom Tov Sheni, and she ended up going to the conference after she converted. So she was chayshish that her Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was not good enough. So Rav Moshe said, no, your Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was shalem. You accepted it was wrong. You knew that you had a timer for it, and you weren't sure you'd be able to be Oymed B'Nisayon. So that's welcome to Yiddishkeit. So then that's something that everybody has to deal with. But that's not necessarily mean that your Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was lacking. The Malami Lahoyo, though, writes that you have to draw a line in the sand. He says, let's say a person says, I accept, I used to have a friend who used to say, this is when the base medrash was over there, he used to say, Be'etzem, every day, daven's in the base medrash. He didn't want to say, where do you daven? Be'etzem, he daven's in the base medrash. Every day, never works out. Every day, he wakes up late, he ends up catching a minion over here, a minion over there. But Be'etzem, he held he was a base medrash daven. So, okay, so fine. But let's say it's over here too, but at some point it's a joke. So Malama Lahayel writes, if a person says, let's say, I'm a Megayer, and Be'etzem I accept Shabbos, Be'etzem I accept Kashrus, Be'etzem I accept Taras HaMishpacha, every day it never works out. So then, so Malama Lahayel says, come on. And that already at that point is not called a Kabbalah. And that's a joke. You can't accept Be'etzem it's right and just not do it every single time. So Malama Lahayel writes, if it's on things that are fundamental to Jewish life, which he defines, it's a line in the sand, but he defines kashrus. He says kashrus, taras mishpacha, Shabbos. If you can't be Oymed B'Nisayon on these three things on a regular basis, then that's not a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs.
Who defines regular?
I don't know.
But if they're nechshel a few times, he would be okay.
I don't know. I assume so. But it means you have to accept to do these things and get there. You know, you have to do it majority of the time. Rav Moshe, though, seems to have a tshuva. Rav Moshe also has such an argument, but Rav Moshe has another tshuva which is somewhat seems to undermine that, because Rav Moshe was asked by a woman who didn't dress neistically. So is that called Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs or not? So Rav Moshe said, no, Be'etzem you're Makabel, just she's not dressed, she's not following through on what she was. Makabel, I don't know, it's kind of, that's something that's fundamental to Jewish life, is dressing properly. No, but they did nowadays will demand that the person dress at least with whatever community you're being Magaya into, that they conform to the standards of the community. No, every case, see, that's the problem. This the guy did his doctoral thesis and all the steerers and Ramesha and Chuvas. Every case is different, I presume, and that's why...
maybe she's not dressed.
You never know the details of the case. You never know the details of the case.
Yeah. 50 years ago.
Right, could be. Anyway, okay, so we said you have to have a reasonable expectation that the person is not good enough just to say, like Rabbi Uziel, it's not good enough just to say a Makabo Ol Mitzvahs. You actually have to have a reasonable expectation that he's going to perform the mitzvahs, and that he accepts to do all of them. But let's say a person just comes to us. We don't know that we don't have a reasonable expectation he's not going to perform the mitzvahs. A guy says to us, come to Beis, and he says, I accept to do the mitzvahs. So what do we do? So we don't know what he has in his heart. So Reb Chaim Moser writes, even if later on the guy doesn't accept to do the mitzvahs, but at the time that he came to us, we thought he was legitimate. We thought he was an honest person, and we had no reason to suspect otherwise. So even if he had in his heart not to accept the mitzvahs, we would say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, The Gemara says, Maseches Kiddushin, if a person makes a sale of a home because he's moving to Eretz Yisrael, and then his plans fall through, he can't back out of the sale. Why? Even though he had in his heart he only wanted to sell because he's moving to Eretz Yisrael, because Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. You have to stipulate it. You have to stipulate it. So too over here, Reb Chaim Moser says that if a person accepts to do mitzvahs, and that's what he says, we would say dvarim shebelei v'enim dvarim, and the geirus would be valid. However, there are certain circumstances where it's an umdun demuchach that you don't plan to keep the mitzvahs. Meaning, even that Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, there are certain things that you don't have to spell out when you make a sale. When you buy a car, you don't have to say, I expect there to be an engine in the car. Oh, you can't sell a car and say, oh, you didn't say that you wanted an engine, Dvarim Shebalei, Veinim Dvarim. It doesn't work like that. This is obvious. It's an umdin of the muchach. Everybody, when they buy a car, wants headlights that work and want an engine that works and has four with tires. That's what you expect. So that's obvious. So too, Reb Chaim Ozer argues, there are certain, be certain cases where it's an umdin of the muchach that you don't mean what you say. That you might say you're makabel mitzvahs, but since we need a reasonable expectation, you're going to do it. If there's an umdin of the muchach that you don't mean what you say, so then the geirus would be no good. That was the tshuva that Rabbi Tamer dealt with from Rav Unterman in the Shevet Miyehuda, that if a person is living in a kibbutz lo dati, so the guy says, yeah, I accept to do the mitzvahs, you have no kosher food, no kosher kelim, no kosher kitchen. How do you, I mean, so that's a joke. So then we have an umdin of the muchach that you don't mean what you say. So we can't take you at your word, and we have no reasonable expectation you're going to perform the mitzvahs. Or Rav Moshe quotes from his father, if a person is converting to marry a non-religious Jew, but they want an Orthodox conversion. Yeah, but the person you're marrying is not religious. We really expect you to be more religious than the person that you're converting to marry? So yes, it does happen on a practical level sometimes, but that cannot be the expectation at the time of Geirus. You can be more religious than your Jewish spouse. You know, your Jewish from birth spouse, the convert is going to be more religious. Or Moshe writes in such a case, it's an umdin of the muchach. You don't mean what you say. Even though you say you're going to be makabel al mitzvahs, we would be highly suspect of such a geirus. So too, there would be any type of, or for example, many but they didn't require that the person within a Jewish community. I told you, I think I mentioned this last year, that recently, YU Torah started a comment section. So, I don't know, some person who's not in the fourth year was listening to Chazar Shen Geiris from New Zealand, a woman, and she emailed me that she wants to convert, but she lives outside of the Jewish community. Mom is somewhere in the sticks somewhere. And Auckland is a Jewish community? Is that a big Jewish? So she called the Beis Din in the Jewish community, and they told her you have to move here first before they enroll her in the class. So she wanted my opinion. Is that right? Because she says she doesn't want to move. She wants to become Jewish, but she doesn't want to move. So I told him, no, it's standard practice. Why? Why do they say you have to live in a Jewish community? How can we possibly expect you to be religious when you're on your own planet over there? You can't do it. You have to have kosher food, a shul, or this or that, infrastructure. If there's no infrastructure, how can we possibly expect you to be religious? So too argues with Chaim Ozer and this and that, that you have to has to be. It can't be an umdin in the muchach that you don't mean what you say. Yes.
What if they are makabel him and then he goes right?
We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it, yes.
How does that say the RCA passing about marrying up from people?
I don't know. You can find that. That's why I refer you to those type of the policy issues. They're different in every case, and you have to find that. They do research in every single case on them. But they have policies. You get them. They're on their website also, Gayer's policies. But he'll be very helpful. That was why I referred you to Rabbi Zilman. Reb Chaim Ozer and the Dvar Avram do have an interesting argument, though, which would destroy a lot of geirus. They say, no, maybe we shouldn't take people at their word at all. If you have in your heart that you don't accept to be makabel al mitzvahs, even though you say you do, even in the absence of an umdin muchach, perhaps we don't say over here, Dvarim shebelev enim dvarim. All of geirus is belev. Depends on what's in the heart. So this is Dvarim shebelev. Geirus is Dvarim shebelev. So maybe when it comes to Dvarim shebelev, we don't say Dvarim shebelev enim dvarim. All of geirus depends on what's in your heart. So they don't accept it, Lamaisa, but they bring up that possibility, which would have consequences if we would go in that direction. Okay, this is all relevant to the next discussion, which is comes up in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Yevamah. It's about a person who's converting for an ulterior motive. The Mishnah says if a person is nitan ala shivcha, nitan ala shivcha is a person who's a Jewish man who's suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. He's suspected. There's a rumor about it. So the Gemara has three halachas with regards to a person who is a rumor that he's having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. The first one is that we should not accept the woman as a ger because she's converting to marry him. Once it's a rumor, we can't accept her as a ger. Number two, even if she converts, the Mishnah says, so we paskin kulam gerimim, that the gerus is good b'diyevet. Even though she was converting for an ulterior motive, the gerus is good. There was one opinion in the Gemara there, in the Mishnah, Reb Nechemiah, that the geirus is no good if you convert for an ulterior motive. Why? Because we don't believe your kabbalah so mitzvahs. It's pretty obvious. You're probably not accepting mitzvahs. You're just doing it to convert to marry this person. But we paskin kulam geirimim that the geirus is good b'diyevin. The third halacha is even if she converts and we say b'diyevin kulam geirimim, we don't allow her to marry the Jewish man. So we need to discuss each one of these halachas. The first is if there's a rumor that she's having a relationship with a Jewish man. She's not Jewish. She's having a relationship with a Jewish man. So Gemara says we should not accept such gerim lechadchila. A ger who's coming for an ulterior motive, we should not accept them lechadchila. Tosis already asked, how did they accept gerim in the time of Mordechai v'Yester? Because the pasuk says, Rabin me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim, many converted in the time of Mordechai v'Yester. How did they accept them? At that point, it was advantageous to be Jewish. Whatever, at the times of Malchus David, we don't accept gerim lechadchila. We don't accept gerim who are coming for an ulterior motive. We don't accept gerim who are coming for an ulterior motive. If they do convert, so the gerus is good b'di'evid. Why is the gerus good b'di'evid? Isn't there Kabbalah's on mitzvah suspect? So the Ritva says that the gerus is good b'di'evid because agav umsayhu gamar v'kibo. You're going to have to live in a Jewish community. If you're living in a Jewish community, you're not going to accept to do all mitzvahs? Of course you will. Otherwise, you'll be ostracized by the community. Communal pressure will force you to accept the mitzvahs. So even though you're converted to marry, once you're converted, communal pressure is going to force you to keep the mitzvahs. Agav umsayhu gamar v'kibo. That's what the Ritva says in that Gemara. So based on the Ritva, Reb Herzog argues in his Shuvas to Heichol Yitzchak, the Dvar Avram has this also, that Bizman HaZez is really the case. There's such overbearing communal pressure that no one in the community can live in peace if they're not Shomer Torah and mitzvahs. Maybe if you live in a new square or you live in Kiryas Yisrael, maybe certain neighborhoods in Bnei Brak, but really in our communities, a person can't be Shomer Torah mitzvahs, otherwise he'll be ostracized by the community. So they argue maybe this halakha shouldn't apply anymore. We shouldn't say kulam geirim heim b'di'evit. Maybe nowadays a geiris is for an ulterior motive is no good because the geir kabbalah sol mitzvahs is suspect. So that's, we don't accept their argument, but it's it comes from a very interesting place. Not really sure where it will take us, but it throws into question the whole halacha of kulam geirim heim. Anyway, we assume, like the Ritva, agav umsayhu gamar v'kibo, because of communal pressure, ultimately they'll accept to do all mitzvahs. But lechadchila, we shouldn't accept such geirim. So because of this halacha lechadchila, we shouldn't accept such geirim in the first place. A person's converting for an ulterior motive. Tosis has a kasha on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, the well-known Gemara, of the person who's walking, the potential geirus candidate who's walking outside of the Beis HaMedrash, and he hears them discussing the fantastic begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and he peeps his head in and he says, who gets to wear these wonderful begadim? And they tell him, oh, that's the Kohen Gadol gets to wear them. So he says to Hillel and Shammai, Geirani Menashe, yeah, Kohen Gadol. I want to convert the Manasseh that I should become the Kohen Gadol. So Shammai throws him out, and Hillel converts him. And then Hillel says to him, you know what, maybe before we make you the Kohen Gadol, why don't you go learn a little bit first? So the guy goes and he learns, he gets up to the Pasuk Hazar HaKarev Yumas, he says, who does this apply to? They tell him, even David Melch Yisrael, who brings a carbon is Chayv Misa. He realizes at that point he's not going to be better than David Melch Yisrael. He's not going to be, his dreams are shattered, he cannot become the Kohen Gadol, but nonetheless he remains a committed Jew. So Tosfos says in that Gemara, how did Hillel convert him? He wanted to become the Kohen Gadol. There's no ulterior motive, Gedolah Mizu. He said, Geirani HaMenashe, yeah, Kohen Gadol. How did Hillel convert him? So Tosfos writes, it's because Hillel knew, and the later Achronim write, not through Ruach HaKodesh, but just through social skills, Hillel knew that the person was going to ultimately accept to do the mitzvahs lishma. So if the person knows, the dayan knows, that the person is going to accept to do mitzvahs lishma, at the end, ultimately, then you can accept them, even though their initial motivation for coming to Geirus is an ulterior motive. So the Beis Yosef quotes this, and the Shach quotes this over here in Sifka and Chav Gimel, that hakol lefi reis enei adayin mikan yesh lumo that hakol lefi reis enei adayin. If the dayin, you have a lot of latitude here. If a person is coming to Geirus for an ulterior motive, but the dayin feels perhaps because the person's been enrolled in a class for so long or whatever, they got to know them intimately, that they plan to keep the Torah and mitzvahs lishma after the Geirus, marriage or no marriage, whatever. So then the dayin has the latitude to perform the Geirus because hakol lefi reis enei adayin. Another kula, which gives the dayan a little bit of latitude over here, with regards to converting, for a person who converts with an ulterior motive, is an argument that Reb Chaim Oizer makes and Malam Elohayo makes, based on a tshuva from Shlomo Kluger, that let's say you have a couple that's married civilly. They're living together anyway. I mean, they're living together. He's a Jewish man, she's a non-Jewish woman, but they're living together. Then they decide, you know what, we want to have a Jewish religious marriage, she needs to convert, and they want to convert her. She's not converting to marry him. They're living together already, anyway. Civilly married. So is that called being Megayer L'Shem Ishus? Is that really called being Megayer L'Shem Dabar Achad? They're having it anyway without us. So they argue, no, that that's not called the Geirus L'Shem Dabar Achad.
Who's they?
All in the same tshuva, Reb Chaim Oizer. It becomes a slippery slope, and Reb Chaim Oizer discusses this. Well, then you're basically encouraging people to live. If you want to have a non-Jewish a woman who's not Jewish convert to marry her, just marry her civilly, and then we'll have no problem with you. So we have to make sure, shalei hei chayte niskar, that we don't reward you for being civilly married to a non-Jewish woman, meaning by giving you, therefore, a dispensation to convert her without giving you any trouble for it. But you have to make sure that that doesn't become prevalent. But wouldn't be they argue it wouldn't be called the geirus for an ulterior motive because they have it already now. They're living together now. Rabbi Gorin has perhaps the most interesting argument to give the dying latitude over here, that to be megayer l'shem davar acher, to convert for an ulterior motive. Again, the Gemara says, l'chavchi, we don't accept such geirim. The problem is, in contemporary settings, that's a large section of the geirus that the dying is confronted with, is a geirus for ulterior motive. So you have hakol lefi ra'eis einei adayin. You have, perhaps he's getting it anyway. I'm saying they're married anyway, so perhaps it's not called an ulterior motive. Rabbi Gorin makes a sweeping statement, which about this halacha that you're not allowed to accept gerim lechatchil for an ulterior motive. He suggests perhaps that's only in chutz la'aretz. Doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, because he said the comment of the Gemara, kashem geum Yisrael kasapachas, which appears a few times in the Bavli, never appears in Yushalmi. So Rabbi Gorin argues, since it never appears in Yushalmi, it must be because in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't apply. Because he says, why is it kashim geim Yisrael kasapachas? Why are geim so difficult and klai Yisrael like a blister? Because they don't really accept to do the mitzvahs. They say they're going to and they don't do it. They end up becoming not religious. Taisus has an argument just the opposite. Taisus says they're more religious than us. They make us look bad. But Rabbi Gorin argues, no, it's because they're not going to accept to do the mitzvahs. And Rabbi Gorin says, in Eretz Yisrael, whoever heard of a geir who doesn't actually follow through on his kavolos ol mitzvahs? So Rabbi Bleich, in his one of the volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems, argues with Rabbi Gorin, and he says he thinks he's confusing nationalistic identification with Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. He says they might identify as a Jew, but they don't necessarily accept to do mitzvahs in Eretz Israel. So there's a highly questionable psak from Rabbi Gorin. It was involved in a whole celebrated case about this woman, Helen Seidman, and a Supreme Court case and everything. That was the context in which Rabbi Gorin issued this psak, but that was his argument. Yeah. We'll get to it. Even though b'diyeva the geirus is all good, we said l'chachilo we don't accept geirim who are coming for ulterior motives. Then we gave a little latitude. Let's say they're married anyway. Rabbi Gorin's argument, perhaps in Eretz Yisrael, the whole thing doesn't apply, even though it's highly questionable. B'diyeva the geirus is all good because agabun sayu gomer v'kibel. However, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch add in this context, if a person came for geirus for an ulterior motive, and the geirus is good b'diyeved, b'choshishin lo yachit tizbar tzidkusay, we watch him afterwards to make sure that he meant what he said. The problem is, and it's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, choshishin lo yachit tizbar tzidkusay. The problem is, after the Shulchan Aruch says this, we watch him until we see that he means what he says, but then the Shulchan Aruch writes, which kind of undermines the whole thing, even if he goes back to doing Avodah Zarah, he's a Yisrael Mumar. I mean, he's Jewish anyway. Well, then why do we watch him? What's the whole purpose of giving him the whole trial period? Even if he fails, he's a Jew. So why? We're suspicious of him until we find out his true intentions. Even if he goes back and he worships Avodah Zarah, he's a full-fledged Yisrael. So the Paiskim here distinguish, Rav Moshe distinguishes, and Rabbi Gorin also has this. This part is accepted. Everyone distinguishes here. The question is what's the shear? But everyone says there's a difference between right away versus lachar zman. If right away after the geirus, chayshin lachar zman is kusa, means you watch him right away. As Rabbi Tendler gave the extreme example, he goes to celebrate the geirus in the Red Lobster. So if you go to celebrate your geirus in McDonald's, the geirus is a joke. That's no good. So we see he didn't mean what he said. But if it happens 10 years later, so then he's a Yisrael Mumar. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch means. If 10 years later down the road we see that he no longer is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, then the Geirus of course is good, and he becomes Yisrael Mumar. So, but what's the Shia? What's called right away that undoes the Geirus, and what's called Achar Zman that does not undo the Geirus? So that itself is where a lot of the controversy that you hear about nowadays in contemporary geirus comes in. Clearly, right away, the geirus is undone. But if let's say, and clearly, if after 10 years it happens, the geirus is no good. But where is the shear? Rav Shechter once suggested it's like 30 days. I don't know, the Beis Din, I talked to the RCA Beis Din about what their shear is. It's hard to know exactly, but you can talk to them about the details of it. But every group of Dayanim will have their own shear. Right here, Rabbi Goren, this part was controversial. Rabbi Goren issued an interesting psak, which is, he was at that time, it was in 1973, which is when he became chief rabbi. He was, at the time, he was the chief rabbi in the army, and then he became the chief rabbi of Eretz Israel. And at the same time, because of this one case, Rabbi Yashiv left the Rabbonis. Left, not the Rabbonis, left the Rabbanut. Rabbi Goren went like this. Why? Over this one case about a woman whose name was Langer, and she had a first marriage in Russia to a convert. And she had two children with this convert, Borkovsky. Then she came to Eretz Israel, and she never got a get from Borkovsky, and she married this guy, Langer. And then when these two kids enrolled in the army, they realized, they did background checks, that their father, I'm sorry, that their mother, no. Yes, the two kids are from the second marriage. She was married in Russia, had no kids to Borkovsky. Then she got married, no get either. She comes to Eretz Israel, she gets married to Langer, she has two kids. So the army, in their background check, realized that she had a first marriage to Borkovsky she never got a get, so the children are mamzerim. So Rabbi Goren was mata, it was a big problem, a big eyesore. Golda Meir was involved in this. You could, Rabbi Rakefet has a beautiful, nice shear where he gives you all the gory details you never wanted to know about the case, and the tapes, and the edus, and all this. Anyway.
National heroes, they
could have let him, so a whole story.
Good. Them get married.
You listen to the tape. Good. So this is what to talk about here. Rabbi Plach has an article about it. Anyway. So Rabbi Goren was under the Mamzerus, and Rabbi Yashiv was upset, so he left, and Rabbi Goren got promoted. Anyway, what did Rabbi Goren say? He said that he undid the Geirus. How did he undo Borkovsky's Geirus? He undid Borkovsky's Geirus by saying he never accepted to do all mitzvahs, because he showed afterwards he wasn't religious. Yeah, but what's the shear for afterwards he's not religious? How much longer after? 30 days? 6 months? A year? How long afterwards that he's no longer religious do we say that the Geirus was insignificant? So at that time, Rabbi Yashiv was upset that he undid the Geirus. He felt, no, once the Geirus was done, so the Geirus is good. What's interesting, or perhaps ironic, is the one who's undoing a Geirus nowadays is a dying Rabbi Sherman. So again, they're saying that a person's not religious afterwards, so the Geirus is no good, which is kind of a role reversal. But it all depends on the shiurim. Every case, of course, is different, but it depends on how long afterwards is what everything depends upon. It's how long afterwards does the person no longer religious, then the geirus is no good. Okay, so that's the first, yeah.
Rishat, I quote the story with the Rav. When someone asked, the Rav asked, the person didn't do anything to be from. So based on that, Rishat says one of the dayam in this area goes up, gives the person a cookie, when they convert to the big mazonos, they did something, so
that's why I broke cookies. He thinks that's legitimate?
No, Chef.
Yeah, not yet. Anyway, so that's the first halachas about a person who's coming to Geirus for ulterior motive. The first thing is the chachil, we shouldn't accept him. We talked about details of that. B'diyeva, the Geirus is good. At least if he accepts initially to do mitzvahs, the Geirus is good. If initially he does not keeping mitzvahs, or at least in the trial period he's not, then the Geirus is no good. But in theory, the Geirus is good. Kulim Geirim Heim. Then there's a third halacha that we shouldn't allow him to marry the woman that he's coming to convert to marry. So then that we haven't really solved anything over here, because if the person is converting in order to marry somebody, you can't allow them to get married. That case that the Mishnah said you're not allowed to, we don't allow them to get married even after the Geirus, it's talking about a man who there was a rumor that he was having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. So why are you not allowed to get married? So Rashi says, because what you'll be doing is confirming the rumor. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. Reb Chaim Eiser and Reb Moshe both discovered, what's the problem in confirming the rumor? It's true. They're having a relationship. It's true. What's the problem in confirming the rumor if it's true? So Reb Chaim Eiser and Reb Moshe both say the same thing based on the Gemara Maseches Yuma and Daf Pei Vav. But the Gemara has a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, Ashrei noisei peshav kisoi chata, that you're supposed to cover over your averus. Kisoi chata, don't air your laundry in public. Then another pasuk says, "Mechasher pshav lo yatzliach." If you cover over your averus, you'll never be masliach. You got to confess everything. So, which is it? Are you supposed to cover over your averus? Are you supposed to open them up to everyone? So, Gemara says, "Ha bechet meforsam, ha bechet sheinu meforsam." If it's a chet meforsam, you have to do tshuva in public. If it's a chet sheinu meforsam, then it's a chil Hashem to be mefarsam your averus. You're not supposed to. So they say that's the aver over here for Rashi, is that we don't allow you to get married afterwards, because you're confirming the rumor that you're being a farsim and an avera in public. that no one knew was true until now. They suspected it, but they didn't know it was true. Now you're telling them that it is true. Therefore, Rav Moshe and Rav Chaim Elazar both argue that if, let's say, they're married civilly anyway already, so the rumor has been confirmed publicly, or everybody knows about it, that they're having a relationship already, so then perhaps there is room to marry them afterwards, because everyone knew about it already anyway. The whole problem of them getting married afterwards is because you're confirming the rumor. Here it is confirmed anyway. Again, you have the problem here. Because these people got civilly married without us, and the non-Jewish woman is living with the Jewish man, so all of a sudden we're going to do the conversion and they can get married afterwards. You just got all these good benefits from being a chayte. So someone told me that's why the Syrians don't accept Gerim, because they think all Gerim are for ulterior motives, and they're afraid of the slippery slope. You're going to start accepting Gerim for ulterior motives. So then you're encouraging people to do Averis, which is, of course, not a good thing. Another svara to allow them to get married afterwards is based on something Rav Chaim Elazar also quotes from all this one tshuva from Shlomo Kluger in the Tuv Tam V'Das, that perhaps it's for this person's benefit, meaning we don't allow them to get married again because it's confirming the rumor. So we have an Isar on the Beis Din to allow them to get married, to marry them afterwards if they converted from an ulterior motive. The Geirus is good, but we shouldn't allow them to get married. But if you don't allow them to get married, what are they going to do? They're going to live together by Isar. So he's going to be over on the Isar being Baal Aramis. And so maybe we should allow them to get married. We're going to violate a little Isar of performing a marriage for a person converted from an ulterior motive. It's a little Isar on the Beis Din. To save this guy from a big Isar of being Baal Aramis. So Chaim Moshe gets involved in a whole discussion. Do we say Chatei Bishvil Shatiska Chaverecha? We're doing a little Avera. He's doing a big Avera.
What's the little Avera?
We're marrying a couple who converted for she converted for an ulterior motive. That's an Iser in the Mishnah. Three halachas. One, they can't convert lechatchila. Two, the Geirus is good, but the other three, we can't allow them to get married afterwards. So here we'll do that little Iser in the Beis Din. It's improper for the Beis Din to do it, but they'll do it in order to save him from the big Avera of being Baal Aramis. Right, yeah. That's already done. But yes, maybe we would do both. We would convert her and allow them to get married in order to save him from the Issa of being Baal Aramis. Correct. So they both quote from a tshuva from the Rambam. Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva from the Rambam that we could do that. You could be over a little Issa, the Beis Din could be over a little Issa to save this guy from the larger Issa of being Baal Aramis. Even though we'll bow to that kind of pressure, he's already living with her, so we'll perform a little Isa of allowing her to get convert, allowing her to get married to him, even though we wouldn't do it in order to save him from the big Isa being a Baal Aramis. If a person comes, says Rav Chaim Elazar, and he says to us, convert me in the Orthodox Beis Din, otherwise I'm going to the Reform Beis Din and the Conservative Beis Din. So then Rav Chaim Elazar says, so we say to the guy, take a hike, isn't that, hey, you want to go to the Conservative Beis Din? That's fine. We don't bow to that pressure. That type of pressure is irrelevant to us. Here, that we want to save the guy from performing an Easter, so we would do that. But to bow to that kind of pressure, that we're not interested in. That, not at all. Okay, so that was the three halachas that we learned from the Mishnah about the person who's converting for ulterior motives. There is a halacha that doesn't appear here in Hilchos Geirus. It appears in Evan Ezer, in Simen Yud Gimel Sif Hey, in Evan Ezer, about a person, a woman who's a grusha, a woman who's an almana. When she wants to get married a second time, so she has this halacha that she has to have havchana. She has to wait 3 months in between the first marriage and the second marriage. Kedei lahavchin bein zera lezera, the Gemara says. So too, that halacha is quoted over here, applies to Gerim as well. To the havchin bein zera, shenizra b'kedusha v'zera shaloi nizra b'kedusha, bein zera l'kedush v'zera chol. So a woman who's, let's say, converting in order to get married, and a couple is married already, let's say even it's not a couple who's living be'isar. If it's a couple who's living be'isar, he's Jewish and she's not, they're going to make her be pirish for 3 months, longer than 3 months, to show that her Kabbalah Tol Mitzvah is genuine. She's clear, you want to convert? You know you're not allowed to live with a Jewish man. So they're going to make her be pirish for that reason, just to show that her Kabbalah Tol Mitzvah, she means what she says. But even if they're both, let's say, not Jewish, a couple is converting together. Lishma, wonderful. So we would make them separate, the Beis Din would ask them to separate for 3 months, prior to converting, kidei lahavchin bein zera kodesh v'zera chol. Oh, I don't know.
What's the, if she's staying married to the same man?
She's going to be married to the same man, but let's say she'll be pregnant the day after the Geirus. We don't know. Did she get, or she, a month later, she turns out she's pregnant. What was that?
Either way, the
plan is... Is it be a muberish in his gaira? So we want to know. What was it? So therefore, they in order to do avchanishes, they have to separate for 3 months. The dogam ravava don't have an ezer rice that it could be over here. We don't say aloy plug, even though by grusha and almana we say it. Even if she's 80 years old, she has to be pirish for 3 months. And there's no possibility if she's a zakena or an islandess. There's no possibility of her becoming pregnant. But then it's a loy plug. Perhaps by a giyores, since this doesn't apply to Jewish women, it's still totally different than the halacha that applies to Jewish women. It only applies to non-Jewish women. So perhaps there's no loy plug. So the Dugam Revolver writes in Evan Ezer, if you take a pregnancy test or she's 75 years old, she's not becoming pregnant. So then, and the couple decides at 70 that they want to convert, so then maybe we wouldn't make them do Havchana. So different, but they didn't have different practices about the pregnancy test, the different things like that, to get out of the Havchana. Some will allow it, some won't allow it, some will allow it based on the Dogam or Bava. Okay, so let's get back. After the Hodos, Mitzvahs Talos, Mitzvahs Chamuras, we discussed Kabbalah, so Mitzvahs at length. So then you do the Mila. And then you do the milah. Hey, you wait for the person to get better from the milah. You can't put them in a mikvah right away. There's still a wound from the milah. You wait for them to get better. Then you do the tefillah, and then the person is a ger. So first you do milah, then tefillah. So Tosis is medayik from the Gemara that the seder is miyake. First you have to do milah, then you do tefillah. However, the Ramah, and if you do it backwards, it's not a good gerus. You'd have to do tefillah again. If you did tefillah, then milah, you'd have to do a second tefillah. Mila must come before Tefillah. However, the Ramban disagrees, because the Ramban is a Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, about a Muberish in his Gaira. The Gemara says, if a woman converts when she's pregnant, B'na'a ain't a tzarech Tefillah. Her child doesn't need Tefillah. But he does need Mila. So Ramban says, whoa, why doesn't he need Tefillah? He was Yaitze Tefillah with the mother when she converted. B'na'a ain't a tzarech Tefillah, because he's Yaitze with the mother. Also, you see, Tefillah of the boy happened with the mother. Then, after she converts, he's born, you do the Mila. So you see, Tefillah could be before Mila. So Ramban says, you see from here that the Seder is not Miyakev. Tosis and then Mukhe Yosef and the Ra'ah and that Gemara and Yevamos disagree, and they say, no, you know why the son doesn't need Tefillah? It's because he's like in a keva at the time of the Gerus. He converted completely with the mother. And when he's born, he's a Jewish baby. And his Mila is a Milas Yisrael, not a Milas Gerus. According to the Ramban, it's a Milas Gerus. The tefillah was yaitzeh with the mother. The milas geiros he has when he's born. According to Tosfos, he's already a ger, like in a keva, because of uba yerachimai. He's in a keva when he converts along with the mother. After the geiros, he's born. Then the milas, the milas Yisrael.
According to Ramban, you do the mila on day 1 or day 8?
Day 8, I think. But why? It depends. The milas geiros shouldn't be have to be on day 8.
Why should we be on day 8?
Yeah, good. Excellent. So anyway, that's the machlokes between the Tosfos and the Ramban. So that's two opinions here in the Ramah. In Siman Reish Samech Chesif Aleph, is the Mila Me'akev, is the Seder Me'akev. According to Tosfos, the Seder is Me'akev. According to the Ramban, the Seder is not Me'akev. The Achrayim explained that this Machlokes in Tosfos and the Ramban is actually a fundamental Machlokes with regards to the nature of Milas Geirus. Rabbi Itzel Aponovitcher has this in the Zecher Yitzchak, so does Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Gilyani Ashas, that they're arguing about what is the nature of the Milas Geirus. According to Tosfos, the nature of Milas Geirus is a prerequisite to Geirus. It's not part of the Seder of Geirus, necessarily, Mila. Mila is you have to have a Mila because you can't convert if you're an Orel. So the Mila must come first. It's the prereq to the Tefillah, which is the Iker Geirus. So that's why Tosfos holds the Mila always has to come before the Tefillah. The Ramban understands, no, they're both essential parts of Geirus. The Mila is not a prerequisite to Geirus. They're both essential parts of Geirus. In which case, it doesn't make a difference which you do first. The Mila, Tefillah, Tefillah, Mila, they're both equal parts of Geirus, equally legitimate. This machlek is about what is the nature of Mila's Geirus. Is it just a prerequisite to Geirus? You can't convert if you're an Orel. Or it's an essential part of Geirus. It's a stage of Geirus, just like Tefillah has a few nafkaminas. One nafkamina that the Paiskim discuss is a shayla that Ritzi Pesach Frank deals with, and the Mishpatei Shikot, I think a Mishpatei Shmuel, also deals with this, a Chuvas Mishpatei Shmuel. About, let's say a person has a mila, which they think is a regular bris. Let's say the parents had a reform conversion. So they think that the child is Jewish. They call a mail to do it. It's a good mila, but they think it's a milas Yisrael instead of a milas gerus. So is a milas Yisrael kosher b'makilas gerus or not? Or let's say a couple thinks they're legitimately Jewish. Turns out later on, somebody comes up, the grandmother had a reform conversion. So does the Mila no good? You have to do a tapas dambris or not? And such a Geirus is good. So that depends. If the Mila is part of the Seder of Geirus, then perhaps a Milas Yisrael is no good. A Mila L'Shem Yados is no good. A Milas Yisrael. A regular Mila is no good, but Makom a Milas Geirus. But if Mila is just a prerequisite to Geirus, but it's not an essential part of Geirus, so then perhaps a Milas Yisrael would be good. I think the minig by most poskim is to be meikel with on this issue. Rabbi Hankin has an interesting shaila which he deals with, which I think Ramosha disagreed with about. It was all printed in the journal Moriah, I think. The back and forth between Rabbi Hankin and Ramosha. About a woman who thought she was Jewish. Then it turns out her children all went to yeshivas and this and that. And it turns out she wasn't Jewish. Rabbi Hankin was asked, she was embarrassed and she didn't want to tell the children. That's what happened. Embarrassed, she didn't want to tell the children. Huh? I don't remember. He wanted to tell the children. So he said, Rabbi Hankin argued, perhaps you don't have to tell the children why. Presumably the kids went to mikvah. When did they go to mikvah? I don't know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. When you go to mikvah by Erev Yom Kippur, there's men all over the place. So you had a Beis Din over there. Everyone saw you going to the mikvah. There probably was a Beis Din with you in the mikvah at the time. And in the Mila, it's a Jewish Mila. They had a minion there by the Mila, so you had a Beis Din. So Hankin argues, if you're going to say a Milas Yisrael is good, why shouldn't it, then perhaps over here she doesn't have to tell her kids. All the boys at one point were by in the mikveh with the Beis Din. They had a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, they accepted the Mitzvahs, and they had a Mila in the front of Beis Din. So Rav Moshe disagreed. He said, no, if you're converting a Geirus Katan, you have to let them know, and they could decide whether they want to accept or not accept. But you can't not tell them. So Rav Moshe argued that they have to tell them. But Hank can argue that perhaps you don't have to tell him. Yeah. Right, son? This is also relevant. What is the nature of Mila's Geirus with regards to general anesthetic during Mila?
I was paying her out that she had daughters. How do you get out of telling them?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's
weird. It have to be before the children. I guess there was a Beis in there. There's no Beis in there. No. Not going to work. They were talking about the sons. I don't know.
When we talk about a Mila, just not a Jewish Mila being different, what's the actual difference other than your intention? Like what's
intention
of the Moel?
Yeah. So if Mila is not part of the Mila, if Mila is not part of Geirus, then it doesn't matter what your intention are. It's just a prerequisite. Okay, so you're right. Not an Orel. You had a kosher Mila. If you have a Nachri do it, that's no good.
Right.
That's not a Mila. But if you had a Frum Moel who did the Mila, so then...
What do we want for...
And that's the difference. It's intention.
Right. Well, what's the mole supposed to be supposed to think? You know, with
Shem Geirus. With
Shem Geirus.
Yeah. Another difference, we'll highlight that point, is what about general anesthetic during Mila, during Mila's Geirus? The guy wants to convert, but he's going to stay up for the whole Mila? It's going to be very painful. So Sridi Yesh writes, yes, how could you become Jewish when you're sleeping? So he writes, you cannot have a general anesthesia from Mila's Geirus. And Dain Grosnas argues in his Lev Aryeh that no, it's just a prerequisite to Geirus. You don't have to have Kavana at the time of the Mila. It's just a prerequisite. You have to have a Kasher Mila. So you can have a Nachri do it, but as long as it's a Kasher Mila, so it would be good enough. It's just a prerequisite to Geirus. Again, I'm not saying we're consistent in the way we pass it over here. We would be Machmer that the Seder of the Geirus is Miyakeh, that you should go back and do another Tevila if you switch the order. But that shows it is a prerequisite, yeah. Anyway, I think over there also the minig would be to be mekel. Okay, what about the person? So we said, okay, a person accepts they want to become Jewish, Shehu Mitzvah Mishin, and we do the mila. Then we have to wait for him to get better. That could take a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. What does the guy do in the interim? Is he Jewish or is he not Jewish? So this issue came up in the 1840s. I assume it must have come up sometime before that. Every Gary is going to have this shana. But it came up in the 1840s when Rav Shmuel Salant was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and he went on vacation and he asked Rav Asher Lemo, who was to be his replacement. And while he was his replacement in 1848, they had this shaila. Ger presented himself to Rav Asher Lemo. He had mila, he didn't have tevila yet. He wanted to know, is he allowed to keep Shabbos? Is he chayv to be mechalal Shabbos? What is he in between over here? So Rav Asher Lemo told him, he's chayv to be mechalal Shabbos. He's not Jewish yet. He's Jewish when he does the tevila. So he has to be Mechal Shabbos, because Gersha Shabbos is Chayav Mitzah. And if Shmuel Salant returned, he disagreed with the Rosh Lemo. And he says, no, he's already partially Jewish. See, he's allowed to keep Shabbos, perhaps. Chayav to keep Shabbos, I don't know, but he's allowed to keep Shabbos. The halach of Gersha Shabbos no longer applies to him. He's not Chayav to keep Shabbos. You're not chayiv to be mechal on Shabbos. Later, Achronim point out it's actually a machlekes between Tosis and the Rishbo, and Tosis and the Rashbo, and Daf Memches and Yevamis. What is the status of a ger shemal v'loy tovah? Is he a little bit Jewish? He's a lechlal Yisrael loy bo, but he was yaitzim lechlal nochri. Or no, he's a full-fledged nochri until he has the tefillah.
There's a minchas chinuch about this. He works up a case where he says, he finds a way to make you a chati eva chati v'chorin, but the chati avdus is a good gamar.
That's a totally different case. Totally different.
Right.
This is different. Chati eva chati v'chorin might be two people trapped in the same body. Anyway, without getting involved in that. Rabbi Chalap has a long article. He gets into this. It's mamish right up his alley, Yushalmi politics from the 1840s. So he has a whole article in the Beis Yitzchak about this whole case with the history of it. Either Mekidim, though, point out, meaning Shmuel Salan points out, that even if you say a ger shemal v'loy tovah is not Jewish at all, but he is in the process of coming to Geirus. And there's a Taisis Yishonim that writes on Daf Mem, I think also same Daf, in Maseches Yevamos, a Taisis Yishonim that says that a guy who's coming to do Geirus, he was a guy, Shabbatless Geir, is already mutter to learn Talmud Torah. How does he know that? Because it's related to discussion in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos, which we mentioned, said a guy once came by, he heard that the discussion in Big Day Kohen Gadol, he came and he wanted to convert a Menashe Yeh Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Hillel converted him. And then he said, learn a little bit. He found out he couldn't wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol. He would never become Kohen Gadol, and he remained religious. So the Taisus says, how did he convert him? It was for an ulterior motive. So we said, no, Hakol Lefi Ra'is Eini Adayin. Hillel knew he was going to ultimately become Shema Torah Mitzvos Lishma. The Marsha and that Gemara is a different teretz than Taisus. The Marsha says, no, he didn't convert him right away. He said to him, okay, that's very nice. Go learn first. Then, when the guy realized he couldn't become the Kohen Gadol, then he said, you know what, I still want to be Jewish. Then Hillel converted him. So Hillel didn't convert him initially for ulterior motive. He only converted him once he realized that he wanted to be Jewish Lishma. That's the Marsha says different than Taisus. But then that presents us with a different problem. The Marsha asks, 1 minute, if that's the case, how did he learn? How could Hillel tell him, go and learn? You're not Jewish. And a guy, Shalom HaTorah, a guy who learns Torah, it's Chayiv Misa, just like a guy Shoshava. So how could he learn? So Marsha says, a guy who's Baal is Geir has a heter to learn Torah. That halacha doesn't apply to him. We award a certain status to a guy HaBaal is Geir. Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees, and he says, Taisus doesn't give your answer. Taisus gives a different answer. Taisus says, because I call a fever, I say, I'm dying. So obviously Taisus disagreed with the Marsha. And Rabbi Kiva Eger says there is no dispensation for a guy who wants to come to Geirus to learn Torah. Rabbi Moshe writes that this is obviously only way in advance. Hillel told him, you know what, why don't you sit and learn in yeshiva for a few years and see if you want to convert then. Then you're a machlekes. If the guy is mamish out ready to convert, you have to tell him something. Otherwise he doesn't know what he's converting to do. So Rabbi Moshe says, there everyone agreed, the Marsha and Rabbi Kiva Eger. The only machlekes between Marsha and Rabbi Kiva Eger is a guy who wants to entertain Geirus. Do we award him a certain status and allow him to learn Torah or not? But not right when he's about to convert. Everyone would agree that, Rabbi Moshe says. But what is this machlekes again? So you see from here, just like the Taisus Yishonim, that according to the Marsha, we award a certain status to a guy when he wants to convert that he's allowed to learn Torah. So too argued with Shmuel Salant. This guy at least is in the process of Geirus. So if he's allowed to learn Torah, maybe he's allowed to keep Shabbos too. He's not obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. I thought of this year someone told me that the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, they want to be Mahadah to have a great Mechiras Chametz. The problem is, we're never sure that the guy really understands, he takes seriously what we tell him. Rabbi Willig's Mechira, that's where I go, that guy, Imamish, John Brown takes everything very seriously. Imamish repeats everything but Tanai Kofel. If you say to him, you know, John, do you mind if we do this and this? Rabbi, I don't mind if you do this and this and this. I mean, he responds in full sentences. Anyway, he clearly takes it very seriously. But you never know. That's always the problem with Mechiras Chametz. So someone told me the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Mahader, that they convert lots of Geirim after Pesach, but they use them before Pesach as the guy to sell the Chametz to. Because they know that they understand the seriousness of Mechiras Chametz. So they sell them. So the guy told me, he was at Mechiras Chametz with a guy with longer payas and everything, with the curly payas, and they sold the Chametz to him. Because he was a guy, and then after Pesach he converts. But then I was thinking, a guy, Habal is Geir, some hold he can learn Torah, some hold he's allowed to keep Shabbos. We award a certain status to him. So maybe you can't sell your comments to him if he's a guy, Habal is Geir. we award a certain status to him, maybe he's already Yatza Michlal Nachri already a little bit. Kind of like Rav Shmuel Salant's Ger Shemal V'Loi Tavo. I don't know. I didn't see it brought up, but it struck me as odd.
Yes. The Rambam seems to hold that even Shabbos is
basically... It's a long discussion within the Rambam. I'm not getting about it. The Rambam has a very unique sheet about this, but we're not...
No one brings it up today.
Yes, because it's not relevant to us. Relevant to other discussions, but not this. So anyway, there's another halacha though. So we got through. These are the stages of gerus. First, the guy says, "I want to convert." Mila, wait for him to get better. Then you do tefillah. You need a beis in there also for part of the lechatchil for all the stages of gerus, because the Gemara learns out from the pasuk of mishpat, which we mentioned earlier, that there's a connection between gerus and dinei mamnes. And just like you need three dayanim for dinei mamnes, you need three dayanim for gerus. How do we have gerus nowadays with nei beis din? We don't have smuchim. Beis din in the lashon of the Chumash certainly is talking about beis din for dinei mamonis. You need smuchim. People have smicha, ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have that anymore. So how do we have gerus in front of a bona fide beis din? All we have is shlichusayu, a concept that we're like shluchim of the original people who had smuchim. How at smicha? How does that work for gerus? For dinei mamonis, maybe it's based on hefker, based on hefker. How does that work over here, though, for gerus? So Nesivis, the first Nesivis in Chai Shemishpah, quotes a machlekes between the Rashba and Taisus on this point. The Rashba says that by gerus, you never needed mumchim. You just have to be in the presence of three dayanim. They don't have to be smuchim. You never needed smuchim for gerus. Taisus disagrees. He says, no, you needed smuchim for gerus. But Shlichusayu was not based on a concept of Hefka, Beis, and Hefka. We are legitimately Midiraisa, the Shluchim of the first people at Smicha, and that now only works for Dinei Mamonis, it works for Geirus too. So according to Tosfos, our whole legitimacy as a Beis Din for Geirus is based on Shlichusayu. For the Rashba, it's not based on Shlichusayu, you never needed Smuchim by a Beis Din for Geirus. But according to Tosfos, it's based on Shlichusayu. Since it's based on Shlichusayu, Shav Shechter quotes in the name of the Or Sameach, it's an extreme Shita, that the Or Sameach writes that if a Beis Din veers at all from standard protocol, then their whole shlichus is batal. That's a shliach shashina mishlichus. So let's say I send a shliach to go do something for me, and he veers slightly from what I told him, that undoes, it undermines, it corrupts the whole shlichus. Even though it's not the critical thing that I asked him to do, but he veered from what I told him, the shlichus is batal. So too argues Dor Sameach, if we veer at all from the shlichus of the original people at Smicha, then the whole shlichus is batal. We have no legitimacy to perform gerus in the first place. So therefore, Shechter argues, if we do anything that's slightly wrong in the gerus, anything, even though it's not miyakev, perhaps that should be miyakev nowadays. Why? Because our whole shlichus, our whole legitimacy is undermined. Wow, so then if you convert as a convert for an ulterior motive, ilchachil, you're not supposed to do it, and you do it, the gerus is batal now. Not because they don't accept to do mitzvahs, but because you are no longer a dayan. Wow.
That would come out according to
huh? That would come out. For the Rashba, it wouldn't be a problem. Because it's not based on Shlichusayu. For Tosis, it would be. But anyway, the Beis, you need a Beis Din for Geirus, and the Dayar for the Dayanim.
Who says that?
The Or Sameach says it by Shlichusayu, or Shechter applied it to Geirus over here.
Tosis
versus
the
Rashba. Yes, Tosis versus the Rashba.
You said Tosis, that it's Mamish.
You have to have shlichus, so you could have
the
Ma'aseh Gedolei Yisrael
get
the gears, because they
never got a
shlichus
from someone.
What?
You need some sort of shlichus. You need to get smicha.
You don't get shlichus from the sixth floor. That's not your shlichus.
Shlichus just means
I know enough? Oh, so the question, what is our smicha nowadays? It's a heter hara.
Right, but you need someone to get
a guy learns on an island, and she should be about Paskin Shilas. You need a Masero. He has to learn by somebody.
Same, there are people
whose
time never got a
form. All right, I don't know. It doesn't mean you need shlichus from like that. Anyway, so but you need a beis din. They have to be kasher l'dayanus. If they're pasul l'dayanus, so then obviously the gevurah is no good. So that's why Rav Moshe writes, obviously, that beis din of reform rabbis or conservative rabbis, the gevurah is no good. Why? Even if the person accepts to do Torah and mitzvahs, it was shalai b'fnei beis din. That's no good. Or if you had a milas Yisrael, and the mayor was a frum guy, but there was no beis din there of frum people, so that would be a mila shaloi b'fnei beis din, which we'll get to if the mila actually has to be in front of a beis din, liikuva or not. But anyway, you need a beis din there, at least for the tvila, that's kosher for lidayonis. A reform conversion is also no good because there's presumably no kabbalos or mitzvahs. We can't expect you to be more frum than the sprouse, we can't expect you to be more frum than the rabbi who's converting you. So, if the rabbi is not Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs, so then how could you possibly be Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs? Rav Sternbach has a psak that's in the Trivus van Hugus, which nowadays is more popular. And again, this is part of the tumult that's going on there nowadays in the contemporary Geirus scene, which is Rav Sternbach argues, let's say a person does one Geirus, which is puzzle, one Geirus where he did something improper, even if he himself is Shermatar Mitzvahs, but he performed an improper Geirus, Rav Sternbach argues then all of his Geirus are puzzle because he's puzzle the Dionysus. So, because if you did one Geirus that's puzzle, you're puzzle the Dionysus. Now all of his Geirus are puzzle. So we mentioned there was a, you know, a big machlekes in the Paiskim about how long after a Geirus do we have to still watch the guy as the trial period about being Shemitah and Mitzvahs. And different, but they didn't have different shiurim. So according to Sternbach, if he doesn't agree with your shiur, so that Geirus is no good. Once that Geirus is no good, not only did we not undo that Geirus, we could undo all of your Geirus, because you're possible with Dionysus and you can't do any good Geirus anymore. So then one Geirus that's no good could end up undoing thousands of Geirus, because that one Rav nowadays is possible to Dionysus. So that's something that needs to be considered. Anyway, so the Chachilu, you need a Bezdin for all of the stages of the Geirus. But Li'ikuva, what are really the critical parts of the Geirus that you need a Bezdin for? So Taisus already brings this issue up when he discusses the Gemara's case about Miloi Tavlu Nidusa. The Gemara asks, a woman who thought she was Jewish her whole life, then she realized she's not Jewish. The Gemara says she doesn't need tefillah now because Milo Tavlin Nidusa. So Taisus asks, there was no bezdin there by the tefillah. So Taisus says, nah, maybe you don't need a bezdin by the tefillah Likuva. All you need a bezdin for is the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, because that's the Iker part of Geirus. So Taisus' opinion is, even for the tefillah, you don't need a bezdin. L'chachilah, yes, but b'di'evid, you don't need a bezdin for the Milo or the tefillah. All you need a bezdin for Likuva is the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. The Pischei Tshuva over here in Reish Samaches of Kohen Gimel quotes from the Dog of Mirvava that perhaps that's only by a Ger Gadol, where there is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. By a Ger Katan, where there's no Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, it's we do it based on Zachon Liadim Shaloi Befanav. So the whole Geirus consists of just the tefillah. So then you need a bezdin there. That's the whole Geirus, is the tefillah. That's why a lot of times the Bezdin will ask a woman if she's pregnant or not. Why do they ask the woman if she's pregnant? Because if the woman is pregnant, so then and you're converting the baby, then they need to know if she's a Muberish in Isgaira. The Bezdin needs to know about it. Why? Because even according to, everyone would agree, therefore, that you need a Bezdin for the Tevila of the Uba. Because there, the Tevila in the Bifnei Bezdin is Miyake. That's why they ask her if she's a Muberish. Sometimes they lie, and they think that they're testing her. Are you pregnant? Meaning they're testing her Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, so then she'll be tempted to lie. They might be asking her for that reason, but they're also asking her because if she is pregnant, the Bezdin needs to know about it, that Geirus should be Bifnei, the Tevila should be Bifnei Bezdin. The Rambam and the Rif disagree with Taisus, and they hold a different shot than that Gemara. The Gemara said, Miloi Tavlu Nidusa. So Taisus says, oh, but there's no Bezdin for the Tevila. So Taisus says, yeah, because you only need a Bezdin Likuva by the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. So the Rif and the Rambam say, no. They say, different Shah and the Gemara. What it means is, Miloi Tavlu Nidusa, if she's going for Tevilas Nidus, presumably she had a Tevilas Geirus in front of a Bezdin. Wow. But if you know there was no Tevilas Geirus in front of a Bezdin, then the Tevilas Nidus doesn't work. So then, and then the Geirus is no good. It means, presumably she had a Tevila in front of a Bezdin. So, but let's say you know she didn't have a tefillah in front of a bezdin, then it's no good. So, according to the Rif and the Rambam, li'ikuva, you need a bezdin for the li'ikuva, you need a bezdin for the tefillah. When do you need a bezdin for the tefillah? So, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rif, and he says it's the Rambam too. The Gra and the Rabbi Avadia safe point out that the Gra has it right over here. Rabbi Avadia more at length. The Rambam never said this. Doesn't appear in the Rambam. So they claim it's supposed to say Ula Harif, it's a Torah Sofer in the Shulchan Aruch, should say Ula Harif, Ula HaRamban. Ramban says this, that perhaps you only need a Bezdin by the Tevilah in order to marry a Jew, but not in order to be a Jew. The Rambam, Rabbi Avadi argues, says, no, to be a Jew, you need a Bezdin there for the Tevilah. So that's Rav HaPaiskim treat this as a Sfeik of the Dina. We're not sure if we should Paskin like Tosis or like the Rambam. Do you need a Bezdin there for the Tevilah? L'chadchila, we are Machmir. We would make you do a tefillah again. If you didn't have it, you need a bezin there for the tefillah. According to Taisus, you don't. According to the Rambam, you do. It's a sveik of the dina, and we're machmir. That you need a bezin there for the tefillah, we'd make you do it again if there wasn't a bezin there. And what about the milah bifnei bezin? So the Pischei Tshuva, there's actually a stira here in the Pischei Tshuva about this. Do you need a milah? Do you need a bezin there for the milah? The Shilta Gibarim already writes for the Rif. who said that you need a basin for the tefillah, that you need a basin for the tefillah, but you don't need it for the milah. This should depend, again, whether you need a basin there for the milah. What is the nature of milah's geirus? Is the milah part of geirus, a stage of geirus, or is it just a prerequisite to geirus? You can't convert if you're an Ariel. So if the pshat is you can't convert because you're an Ariel, maybe you don't need a basin there. If the pshat is because it's a stage of geirus, then perhaps you should need a basin there. Ramesha argues that many poskim can argue like this, that you don't need a beis din there for the mila li'ikuva. So therefore, if you had a milas yahadus, even if it was a reform, everyone there in the room is not kosher l'dayonis, but at least the mile was a kosher mile, so then that would be good, even if there wasn't a beis din there for the mila.
Just the mile has different kavanos?
Huh?
There just needs the mile has kavanos for...
Well, he has to be kosher for mila. We discussed if an are mumar, dino ka'akum, could be kosher for mila, no. So if he's a Shema Torah Mitzvahs, so then he can do that. This discussion about the fact that you need a Bezin for Mila is relevant also to doing a Geirus Balayla. There's Ein Yeshiva's Bezin Balayla, as the Pasuk says, of a Yoim Hanchilo Yazbanov, that you can't have a Bezin Balayla. If you can't have Bezin Balayla, you can't have Geirus Balayla. So also that's why we don't do Geirus at night, is because you need a Bezin for the Tvila, perhaps not for the Mila. L'chadchilo, we have it for the Mila too. But B'diyeved, you don't need it necessarily. It's not Meyakev by the Mila, maybe. But because of that, we don't do geirus at night. There is another answer in that in Taisus about what about Miloi Tavlu Nidusa? Didn't she do Tvila and Nidus? And that should work for Tvila's geirus. Taisus says, where was the Bezdin by the Tvila? So Taisus says, you don't need a Bezdin to see the Tvila. All they have to do is know that a Tvila occurred. So we say, Miloi Tavlu Nidusa, didn't she go to Tvila for Nidus? We can all give Eidos here from the street that she probably went, she's a religious woman, she probably went for Tvilas Nidos. That should work for Tvilas Geirus too. They don't actually have to see it in person. However, the Paiskim point out, or Maisha and Rav Avadia, that the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, they talk about how to do Tvila for a woman. How do you do Tvila for a woman in its Nidos way in front of a Beis Din? So the Shulchan Aruch says that she goes into the water Ad Savara. It says over here, she goes into the water, Sif Bay, she goes into the water Ad Savara. Rabbi Tendler said if the room is dark, then the Dayanim can't see into the water. I don't know. From what I heard from other Dayanim, what the common practice is that the woman wears a loose sheet, and the Dayanim come in after she's already in the water, and there's a sheet over there. Probably the lights are off too. And they stand by the door, right by the door, she's all the way into the room by the mikvah. And they tell her, Mixus, Mrs. Kalas, Mixus, Mrs. Chamurois. She accepts. They see her go under. Then they slam the door. And then she hears the door slam and she knows she could come up. And the mikvah lady helps her. Anyway, so that's how she goes in front of the Dayanim. Because the tefillah has to be bifnei bezdin. But the Rambam writes, and it's called in the Shulchan Aruch, that toveles bifneihem. She has to be toivel in front of them. So you see that Eidus Yediyah, just knowing that there was a good geirus, is not a good tefillah, is not good enough. They actually have to witness it. Eidus Yediyah is not good enough. You have to have Eidus Re'iyah. So Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia argue Le'ikuva, that this we paskin, that the Beis Din has to see the geirus. It's not good enough just that they hear the splash or something. They actually have to see the geirus. Rabbi Tendler mentioned at length the sugya of Ger Katan. We're just going to say a little bit about it. He spoke about it at length. Now, the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis that you can be Magayer, a child, as a Ger, because it's a schus huloi. It's a schus for him. And Zachon the Yadim Shaloi Bafanav. The Paiskim, though, discuss, and it's an important contemporary issue, what is a schus to be Jewish? Is it a schus simply to be a Jew? Or is it a schus to keep Torah and mitzvahs? So Melech Shechter has an article in the RJJ Journal. He was a big guy in Melech Shechter. So Melech Shechter has an article in the RJJ Journal where he quotes there from Soloveitchik, and the same is in the Svidei Yesh as well, that it's not a zechus just to be Jewish. It's a zechus to keep Torah and mitzvahs. But if there's a couple who wants to be Megayer, this happens all the time. A couple wants to convert a Ger Katan, but they themselves are not Shomer Torah and mitzvahs. If they themselves are not Shomer Torah and mitzvahs, we have no reasonable assumption that the child is going to be Shomer Torah and mitzvahs. So what zechus is it? All these averus he's going to rack up? He's going to be Jewish, and he's not going to keep any Torah and mitzvah. So we were just mezakeh him in averus. So Melech Shechter says, oh, but maybe he'll become Kiruv. Maybe, you know, Eish HaTorah will get him or something, or NCSY. So he says, yes, that might happen. But Zechus, vis-a-vis for the halacha of Zachon Le'Yadim Shaloi B'Fanav, is evaluated at the time of the Zachon Le'Yadim Shaloi B'Fanav, not later on. You have to evaluate it at that moment. And at that moment, it's not necessarily Zechus to come into a non-religious household and be Jewish. So therefore, they argue that the couple has to be a Jewish couple. That means that no non-religious couple could convert a ger katan in an Orthodox conversion.
Why not say it's supposed that the kid doesn't get a ver since the teenage mishpah, and whatever mitzvah he does, he gets credit for?
So some argue like that. So Reb Chaim Oizer has a tshuva in the chelek Dalet of the Achi Ezer, where he argues like that. Reb Moshe is not sure about this. There's a tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak about this. An important contemporary issue. Some argue that it's a zechus just to be, simply to be a Jew. Rabbi Tendler had, huh?
Where is it based in America,
sir? I don't know. You find out. I suspect that they hold no, but I don't know.
The day school?
I don't know.
Jewish day school?
You send them to a Jewish day school? See, they're all gray areas. I don't know. I don't know. Rabbi Tendler had his suggestion, just to make sure everyone understood his suggestion, what he was suggesting. He was saying it's a big problem in Eretz Yisrael nowadays that you have people who claim to be Jewish that actually aren't Jewish. So he wanted to come up with it. That was his problem that he was dealing with, if you didn't catch the drift. So he was trying to suggest a solution to that problem. How can we convert them if they're not going to accept mitzvahs? So he said, he quoted from the Pisrei Tshuva over here, Sivka in Ches, who quoted the name of the Chasam Sefer, that the only time that is a zechus, because he's going to keep Torah and mitzvahs to be Jewish, is if the person's coming by himself. You're converting a ger katan all by himself. Then it has to be that the person's converting into a home, maybe that they're going to keep Torah and mitzvahs, whatever. Then it's basically so. Then, and also, then you have the halacha that im higdilu yichalim limchais. When he gets older, he could reject the conversion. Let's say he doesn't want to be Jewish. Ramesha says, by the way, it used to be in vogue not to tell people that they were adopted, not to tell children they were adopted. Ramesha says, you have to tell them that they're adopted. Because whenever they have to have at some moment, they know they're adopted, and they had the opportunity to be meicha, and they weren't meicha. Ramesha says if he doesn't find out till he's 45 that he was adopted and converted as a ger katan, then he has the option to back out at 45. Whenever the first moment that you find out is that you were converted, you have the option of backing out. Anyway, so you have to tell them, and they might back out of the conversion. But Rabbi Tendler quoted the Chasam Sofer says over here, if the whole family converts together, it's the parents together with the child, but it's a shah, it's a zechus gomer hulai, it's an absolute zechus, and he cannot be meicha. Because the some Rishonim never held of that line, it's a whole tshuva there in the Chasam Sofer. So Tanya was saying, "Atakan and Eretz Yisrael, let's convert the whole family babas achas. If we convert the whole family babas achas, the child's going to be the same as the parents. That's a zechus. It's not. It's bad for the child. He's going to be not Jewish. The parents are going to be Jewish, and then the child can't convert. It can't be meicha later on. I mean, I didn't get the whole story. I never get the whole story straight, but it's something along those lines.
Parents aren't going to be Jewish.
Mrs. How could they convert? I don't know." But along those lines is what he was suggesting. We convert everyone together so then we could take away the mechiyah aspect of the whole story. One last halakha that I'd like to mention over here. So Ramah mentions all the way at the end of Hilchas Beiros that of Mumar, who does tshuva. Yeah, at the end of Siman Reish Samaches. Yisrael Mumar, Shasa Tshuva, needs a tefillah midrabanan. Why should he need a tefillah midrabanan? Yisrael Shechat Af Pishachat Yisrael Hu. So Shechter once suggested that perhaps this halacha, that a mumar needs to do tefillah midrabanan, is based on a concept, midrashisa, of that sometimes a person can lose his kedushas Yisrael. It's true that we say Yisrael shechata v'pishachata Yisraelu, but a person could go so far that he loses his kedushas Yisrael. Rabbi Tendler mentioned this in as well, and he quoted the Chasam Sofer in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin, where he quotes from the name of the Ga'anim. It appears in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in Hilchos Chalitza, it's quoted, Lamaisa, that the Ga'anim's opinion was that we can gather together and remove Kedushas Yisrael from a certain individual. He commits averus that are so severe for a significant period of time, we could remove his Kedushas Yisrael. The other example that they give is if he's a Meshumad, he converts to another religion. Maybe he, in certain circumstances he would lose his Kedushas Yisrael. This appears in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Chalitza that if there's a brother who converts to another religion, the opinion of the Ga'anim is that the woman no longer requires Chalitza because he's not Jewish anymore. So you see, you could go so far that you could lose your Kedushas Yisrael. So based on that concept, Rav Shechter argued that's what this is like a Ke'in Doiraisa over here, that a Yisrael Mumar should do tshuva because if you go too far, you could lose your Kedushas Yisrael. This concept, though, might help us understand a conundrum in Hilchos Geirus, and that is, how could it be that, we could all gather together to remove someone's Kedushas Yisrael? So that could be based on the following questions. There are really two valid questions, and that is, all of Geirus is patterned after Matan Torah, we said. Mila, Tvila, Kabbalah, Sol Mitzvahs, we accepted the Torah, Maimon Har Sinai, we had a Mila, we had a Tvila, it's all based on Maimon Har Sinai. Where did this concept of Beis Din come from? Where was there a Beis Din at Maimon Har Sinai? There was no Beis Din. And also, Olav Geirus is patterned after Mount Torah. There was the Shechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu was there. Where's the Kadosh Baruch Hu by every Geirus? Obviously, Hashem is here, Hashem is there. But where was the Kadosh Baruch Hu present by every Geirus? So, Rav Shechter once suggested it could be Kushya Achas Mitaretz Zeth Chaverta, meaning that the Beis Din by Geirus is Oymeid B'Mokom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning we are the Beis Din at the time of Geirus stands on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bestows Kedushas Yisrael onto the Geirus candidate. That's what the Beis Din represents, so to speak, the Shechina at the time of the Geirus. That's what their role is. And they bestow Kedushas Yisrael on top of the Geir. So if that's the case, so then, you know, God giveth and God taketh away. So the Beis Din can also remove the Kedushas Yisrael from someone. That's what gives us that power. We give Kedushas Yisrael at the time of Geirus, and we could also remove Kedushas Yisrael at the time of Geirus. This could help us understand one last halacha. I promise, last one. Last halacha, which is a discussion in the Paiskim, and takes us over here to Siman Reish Samech Tes, of whether or not a Geir can serve on a Beis Din Legerus. Lots of times you have that. A Geir wants to serve on a Beis Din Legerus, and he could help people. He was there himself. He could talk them through it. Can a Geir serve at a Beis Din Legerus? So there's a halacha in the Gemara in Yevamos that Sam Tasim Alecha Melech, you should put over yourself a king. Sam Tasim Alecha Melech Mikar V'Achecha, you should put over yourself a king who is from your brothers. Any position of authority has to be mikarev achecha. It cannot be a ger. A ger is possible for a position of authority. We had when we learned Yevamos in yeshiva, so this issue came up. We came up in a discussion in the yeshiva. What about in the smicha program? Can we have gerim in the smicha program? Is being a rov a srara? So at that time, I researched it a little bit. I spoke to Rabbi Reis and. Rabbi Chalab told me it came up in the smicha program, and they asked the Rav. This is the sheet of the smicha program. They asked the Rav. The Rav said, "Rabbanus is not a srara. Rabbanus is an aptus." So he says, "You want to be an eved, okay? Nevach, you can become an eved." So there's no srara in being a Rav. So that's why we give over here in the smicha program. We give smicha to Gerim as well. Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Wilk have the opinion that no, it is a srara. Rabbi Bleich told me it's not a svara. You're not in charge of anybody. He said, if they don't like you, they'll leave the shul. So what's svara? So I think I always say, it depends how you run your rabbanus. If you run your rabbanus as a svara, then it's a svara. If you run your rabbanus, then people are going to leave. Yeah. Anyway. Oh. So, but what about serving as a dayan on the Beis Din Legerus? So can a ger do that? So halacha is, a ger is not allowed to be dayan as chavera Yisrael. That's as Yisrael. That's a position of svara. He's allowed to be dayan as chavera hager. He's allowed to have a position of Tzorah over Gerim. So over here, some argued he should be allowed to serve as a Beis Din Legiur. He's having a Tzorah over other Gerim. However, Shechter in the Ginas Egos quotes from a sefer called Shalmei Shmuel. But the same thing is in Rabbi Yashiv's Ha'aris and Maseches Kiddushin, where they both write that no, the Beis Din Legiur is not all being Don the Ger. The Beis Din Legiur is serving as a Shliach of the Shechina, the being Don, the standing on behalf of Klal Yisrael, bestowing Kedushas Yisrael on this Ger. There are ours, the shluchim of Klal Yisrael. So you want to be Dan, that's like being Dan as Yisrael, not being Dan as Chaver or Hager. So if you're standing on behalf of Klal Yisrael, then perhaps a Ger is no good for such a position. So that's why many will not allow a Ger to serve as on the Beis Din Legiur. Okay.